right, let's take our hymn books this morning. 796. 796. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Oh,
We have some announcements this morning. First of all, don't want to point anybody out or embarrass anybody, but we want to say welcome to you folks that are new. Glad that you're here today. Jim, I don't know if they got any information about our church, but we want to make sure that you know when our services are. We want to say welcome. Hope you'll come and join us again. We have our Sunday school time at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Our morning service now and Wednesday at 7 p.m. We have a prayer and Bible study time. Hope you'll come and join us at some point. So we're glad to have you today. All right. For our other announcements here, obviously, as I said already, we weren't able to have our services last Sunday due to the weather. And we missed singing happy birthday to Florence, and she's unable to be with us today. I do have a birthday card over here on the organ, and after the service, if you'd like to write a little note of encouragement to her, we'll get that out to her right away. It'll be a belated birthday, but we'll try to get it to her. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating our 43rd anniversary as a church. And, of course, the actual anniversary is on the 1st, which is 2 days before. But we're thankful for all the years that God has given us here at this ministry. And Brother Bob Hitchens and his wife, Charlie, will be here with us to celebrate it. And we'll have our normal Sunday school and morning service. And then following that, we'll have a good meal downstairs. So bring some good food with you. The church provides everything else. So hope you come and join us. We'll have a great time thanking the Lord for all that he's done for us here at Race Street Baptist Church. The latest email from Pastor Reddy is posted on the bulletin board. He and his wife had a medical need of $60. And if you're interested in contributing to that, take one of the envelopes there back at our offering table and put your gift in it and mark on it for Pastor Reddy Medical. Put it in the regular offering box, and I'm sure they will be glad to receive any help that we can give to them for that need. On February the 6th, which is a week from this coming Wednesday, Cliff Zimmerman will be coming back to speak on Wednesday night, February the 6th. So I hope you'll come and join us. I know a lot of us really liked him on that one Sunday he was able to come and be with us. So hope you'll come and be with us. That's February the 6th. And last but not least, we normally have our Lord's Table or Communion on the first Sunday of the month. But due to our anniversary being next Sunday, we felt it would be best to delay it. So it's going to be on the 10th instead. So, for those of you who are interested in knowing when communion will be, you'll have it on Sunday, February the 10th, this next month. I believe that's all the announcements that I have at this point. Let's take our hymn books once again and turn to number 801. 801.
Oh,
Corinthians, number 822. It's all the way in the back beyond the index. Following that song, we'll have a special and then the message. 822. Let's stand, please.
As I walk on through the long eyes, I can see the dawning of light. Soon this old life, with all of its trials, will be left behind. There's a new day. Shadows of sin will vanish forever. He promised me there's gonna be joy in the morning. Tears cannot stain the pathways of glory, and no broken hearts will find up there beyond that sky. My mansions are by the light of the morning, we'll sing the songs of sweet victory. We'll show this old life, with all of its trials, will be left behind. There's a new of sin will vanish forever. He promised me there's gonna be joy in the morning. Just inside. The darkest hour means dawn is just inside.
Sure is good to be in church today. You got to do better than that. I said that in Sunday school too. But sure, it's good to be in church today.
Amen.
Amen. That means you agree wholeheartedly what's been said, what's been proclaimed, and I trust you do. I'm glad that you are here in this place, and it's our honor and privilege to be here. And I'm just trying to, without my glasses, all I see is silhouettes. I can't tell if you're smiling or crying. So I hope you're doing the best you can. And take your Bibles this morning and just turn. It's all good, so turn any place you want to. The book of John, John chapter 9. And we'll, if I look a little bit more tired than usual, we had snow camp this past week. And it snowed at the beginning of the week, and there was plenty of snow for the kids to run around. And then it rained, and it froze over, and they couldn't go skiing and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, they wore me out. I didn't know ping pong could be so tiring. My legs hurt from playing ping pong. I have a reputation of being halfway decent playing ping pong. It's only a reputation. It's not reality. But anyway, I didn't want to lose, but I did. 7 out of 8 is not bad. Lost. 7 out of 8. That's not bad. At least you get one win in there. That's all you want to know. Keep you going for next time. Hey, it's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. We've been privileged to visit a lot of churches here in the Northeast, and I always look forward to coming back here. And not for the preaching, because a lot of times when I come back, I'm preaching. But for the fact of your singing and a piano player and a song leader, I don't know about you, but I think it's been good. Amen?
Amen.
And it's not inappropriate to agree with what happens in our church by saying amen. Okay? It's not inappropriate. It's not wrong to say amen if you agree with what's being said.
Amen.
You're catching on. I don't want to have to say it again. You got the idea. And so when the word of God is proclaimed, you ought to agree with what the Bible has to say and hopefully agree with how the preacher has presented it. I want to thank God for his goodness and for your place here. I was sitting back there next to mine and just thinking how good God's been to you. And there's not, we've been in a good number of churches. And when it comes to Christian fellowship, when it comes to participation, when it comes to agreement, there's no place like this place. And so you ought to be thanking God for what you have. And you ought to be begging God to give you what you need to keep it, keep on. Amen. There's nothing static. There's nothing that's stationary in living the Christian life. Things we used to do, we don't do them anymore or whatever, you know, that way. Things move. Things change. And there are some things we don't want to change. I trust you holding a book in your lap that you don't want to change. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't amen soon, I'm going to come down and have a Bible exam. We're going to examine your Bible, make sure you got a good Bible, make sure you got the right one. And so we want to be stable, not stagnant, but stable in what makes a church a church. And I thank God for what you have here, the foundation that your husband laid and so forth. It's unbelievable. The music, I just said to my wife when I sat down, it's always good to carry your wife with you because she edits what you're going to do. Some of you fellows know what I'm talking about? I had a bright idea, but she edited it. She kind of got the idea. I don't think it'd be so good. Now I'm standing up here looking at you. We might re-edit it. We might have another panel discussion down there. You sing so good. You sing so good. And there is, in the singing, there is a prelude to preaching. And the way you all sing makes it real good for a preacher to preach. I mean, I could stand up here and stutter for 45 minutes, and you'd still get something because of the way you sang and you blended your hearts together. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
In the singing. So since you agreed, and we're going to override my wife's vote. All right? She's being overridden. She won't talk to me all the way home. That's 2 hours. And could you come back up?
Yes.
And a piano player come back up? He's just getting out his candy. He's just getting out his bubble gum. That's what you do when you have kids. But you took that piece from off under the seat. All right. Don't ask me. And if somebody out there, and this was my thought, was you came to church today and you kind of had the idea, I wish they sang and you have maybe a favorite song that you would like to sing. And if you do, I'll give you a few seconds to choose how great thou art. No, seriously, we'll sing that, but not. Can somebody have a favorite that you would like to have sung? Don't leave me hanging on the rope. Yes, ma'am.
It's not exactly my favorite, but very necessary today. It's called In Times Like These.
All right. Can we have a vote on that? All in favor say amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to say, you know it? We're going to see if it's in the book.
It is in the book.
Okay, we just need to find it. Somebody find it and yell it out.
532.
He found it. You got it. Thank you. You can do all the verses. All right.
Sounds good to me.
Let's check with you. In times like these, we need a Savior. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. It's Jesus, yes, He's the one. It's Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Amen. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. It's like these. In times like these, be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. He's the one. It's Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. A solid rock. The rock is Jesus. The rock is Jesus. The only one. Very sure. The anchor holds and grips a solid rock. Amen. All God's children said. Amen. Good, good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Back to where we were a few moments ago, Book of John, chapter 9. You'll trust benefit from the Word of God today. I hope the title of the message is very profound. Something that will benefit you for the rest of your life. It's got three basic points. The first one is work. The second one is work. And the third one, guess what it is? Work. Amen. We need that. Many, many times people ask, what is the secret, quote unquote, to spiritual church, spiritual family? It takes work. It takes work. In the book of John, chapter 1, chapter 9, it tells, this is what Jesus, he had a work to do. I'll read verse 1 down through verse 4. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. The man was blind. He had a handicap which needed a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have handicaps that need the Lord to intervene and participate in our lives. And here this man was blind and he needed help. And his disciples asked him, that's asked Jesus, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And it goes on to explain. Jesus went on to explain. Neither, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our heart today. And we'll give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There are things that you are doing and things that you have accomplished and things in the days that lie ahead you will accomplish. because you have worked. But it's Jesus who gets the praise. It's Jesus who gets the glory. It is nothing that we have done, although we've done, but it's nothing that we've done in our own strength, nothing that you've done in your own strength. It's all of Jesus that gets the praise. Somebody said, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Now, in this process here in verse number 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Somebody looking at you, somebody looking at me, somebody looking at us, somebody looking at our church, this church, the church, our church, somebody looking, they need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in it. The singing that you have enjoyed this morning, did you see Jesus in it? We're going to sing another song if you didn't see Jesus in that. Okay? And again, it's spooky or something else like that. But just being in the sound or within the sound of that song or songs that we sang here this morning. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. And so we need to give God. That has an effect upon us. And so here, let me read that verse again. You're going to get a neck ache going up and down. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You are sitting here today a work of God. It is absolutely amazing that you are in church today. Can anybody attest to that? I mean, we were lost and wandering in sin, whether you were 6 when you got saved or 16 or 60. And it is absolutely amazing that God saved you. You are a work of God. We do not want to tarnish, damage, destroy that work. The devil does. The devil's the enemy that wants to harm and hinder you and provoke you. But isn't it good to be God's choice vessel? Amen. Verse number 3 again. Neither hath this man sinned, Jesus speaking, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him. Verse number 4, Jesus speaking, I must work the works of him that sent me. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. While it is day, and night cometh when no man can work. Therefore, we right now, as a body of believers, we right now as individuals, we need to do something for God. We must work the works of God. The lost and dying world has a tough time today because they are not seeing a manifestation of the works of God in you. In you. Somebody knew you before you got saved and they met you after you got saved. There should have been a great transformation, a great change. Since I've been born again, there's been a great change since I've been born again. And a manifestation of God in your life. Unless you were perfect when you got saved. And I doubt you were. And so there still needs to be a man. Some of us figure, well, I've been saved for a long enough time. I don't need to change anything. I'm as close to perfect human specimen as you'll ever find. And I'm saying that's the way some folks feel. But we need to check by looking in the mirror of God's word, and find out that's not the case. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all have that birthmark, if you would. We need to have an awakening today in our churches. I'm glad that the alarm clock has gone off in this place. Don't take it snooze. You know, you all have them little snooze buttons on your, I guess they probably don't on modern technology, but you got that little snooze button and you push it for just a little bit and just a little bit and then you fall what, back off to sleep? And I'm a little bit concerned about what we have in the Northeast in our churches. Folks saw a little bit back in the 50s and 60s. And let me just snooze for just a little. And they push the button down and they haven't woken up or they haven't been stirred enough. And I think we ought to be stirred just a little bit. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. We ought to sing that in the marketplace. We ought to sing that in the highways and the byways. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. And if I said it once, I've probably said it a dozen times. If it's a grand thing to be a Christian, do me a favor, tell your face. Don't keep it a deep secret. You didn't like that. You thought I was sarcastic and fresh. Communicate with me. Either go. We have adopted a secular mannerism. We have lost the idea. I'm just going to praise the Lord. in a shopping center, in the mall, wherever it may be, on the bus. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Amen? Here, we need to learn to work the works of what God has for us. Why? So somebody can say, oh, how great thou art, or how great thou art. Because they have seen the Lord Jesus Christ manifested in our lives. We need to set out in that direction. And off the top of my head, I could give you a good list of things that we could do that folks would see Christ in us and see Christ about us. And we need to have that once again in our church, churches, community, in our part of the country right here. This is where it started, and this is where we need it right now. A manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice verse number 4. I must work the works. Jesus speaking now. I must work the works of him that sent me. Well, who sent you? Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. Jesus sent you. And so we need to work the works of what Jesus has for you in your life. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I give my testimony briefly, but I started out to be an engineer. And I said, when I got saved, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, I'll have you to work with teenagers, and I'll have you to preach. And I said, Lord, you got the wrong number. You got the wrong party. Let me kind of give you some. That's not me. And you're sitting out there saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How many times, if ever, have you asked God, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do? What part of my life? He wants it all, not part. Someday, I recommend you invest in a little buzzer system for up here. So when you want to buzz a little amen, and all of a sudden you feel that vibration someplace, you go, amen. You get the idea. And what that lets somebody know is that you kind of like the idea of doing something for God. And if I stood behind this pulpit once, I've said several times now, and I've always said, do something for God. Verse number 4, I must work the works. If Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me, then God's children need to say, I need to work the works of God. And you find that out by studying his word. What does God want you to do with your life? My wife, who is a English teacher, and I'm not sure I can remember this, but there's in writing a report or a newspaper article or something like that, there are 6 key words that you want to include to make sure that you are covering the material totally. I'm going to say the first one is who, what, when, why, where, and how. They're key words that will help you to communicate. And so I, in the best of my abilities, I'm going to try to use those 6 words. Did I say 4? 6 words. To help communication, okay? We are to work the works of him that sent me. That's what Jesus said. But Jesus is so send I you. Jesus is sending us. And we need to be willing to work the works. We agree? So would you be volunteering today? Would you sign up? Whatever, hired today? Would you be selected today with the Lord? Would you say, yes, I'm going to work the works of him that sent me. Some years ago, somebody asked, what's the secret of success in the ministry or in the church? What's the secret? And expecting some theological discourse, the answer was given quickly, work, work, work. Work, night cometh when no man can work. Now, I know in our age, believe me, I can still touch my toes when I take my shoes off and put them on the table. But, you know, we still need to work. In some way, some capacity, we still need the work. And so I'm going to say to you, will you still pay attention by telling me how many points I have? Will you still be with me? You know, because if I say we have 14 points, you go, oh, no, we didn't have 14. If I told you we had 10, you go, oh, no. If I told you you had 8, you go, oh, no. If I told you you had 7, you say, oh, no. I told you if we had got 6 points in this message, you say, All right. We'll run through it. Just don't spend all day on any one particular point. There are some things that I believe in those words we can learn from God's word, that we might work the works of him that sent us. Who sent you? Who, Who sent you? Who sent you to work in a nursery? God. Who sent you to teach in a Christian school? God. Who sent you to do whatever you are doing in your life for God? Who called you to do that? Well, the preacher. I tried to get out of it, but he wouldn't let me get out of it. God called you. He may use the preacher to knock on your door, but he's standing at the door when the door is open. We must work the works of him who sent us. That's God. He sent us. Go you where? Into all the world and preach. God sent us. God called us. I'm talking about us, you. God sent us. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll wear out your Bible, okay? And some of you want to keep score, this is number 1. That means there's how many left? Okay, some of you are already keeping score. It just started. There are 5 left, all right? And I've traveled a long time with my wife. And I always travel with my wife. You can count on one hand how many times we've been apart. Except for her having 3 babies, okay? Those days didn't count. But I believe you could count on one hand the nights that Ma and I have spent apart. And we've been married for 50... I'm glad you know. I just want to check. We've been married for 54 years. Amen. What does that have to do with the message? I'm not sure. Ephesians 2 and 10. Because of who I work for, we must work the works because of who I work for. Who do you work for? And maybe you may mention, I work for the Bell Telephone Company. I work for this. I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I will say of you sitting here, if you're a born-again Christian, you work for the same boss that I work for, the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have the same master. We all have the same head. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I must work the works of him that sent me. Who sent you? God sent you. You know, every once in a while, a preacher has to come along, or one of the people in church has to say, could you help us? We're in desperate need of a nursery worker. It might be a little brazen. I think God wants you to work in the nursery. Well, you ought to be willing and wanting to do what God has for you to do. Work the works of him that sent you. I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus speaking that way. But we are to walk in the steps of Jesus, and I believe we ought to be following that example that he has set for us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I've got a list of different things that you can possibly do in the ministry, and I'm still harping on that thing. There are things that you can do that nobody else can do. There are things that God wants you to do that he doesn't want other people to do. And we need to work the works of him that sent us. God has put his hand of blessing on this place right here. And we, you, need to make sure that God's blessing, his hand, stays on it. And that you are carrying out the works of God that he has for you. I don't have a grocery list to give you of the things that you can do for God in this place. That God wants you to do in this place. You can go out of... I started to give you a list and I'm not going to do it. Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship. We must work his work because of who I work for. Who do you work for? Jesus. Can you help me out just a little bit? Who do you work for? And then you tell me Jesus. Who do you work for?
Jesus.
Come on, a little better. Who do you work for?
Jesus.
You work for Jesus. All right. And all the benefits are fabulous and all the adjectives that you can put along with it. But you work for Jesus. Amen? And you want to work the works. John, 1 Corinthians, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there. Just please turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Those who, what, when, why, where, and how. The first word was who, what. What am I working for? What am I working for? Probably one of the highest paying jobs in America is that of the ministry. That's a fib. I cross my fingers. It's not for the praise of man. It's but for the Lord. It's not for the finances. It's for the Lord. It's good to serve the Lord. And we're by God's grace, we're trying to raise up a generation behind us that's excited about working for the Lord and not excited about a paycheck at the end of the week. Amen. Christian folks, we need to be just excited we get to work in a Sunday school class. You know, there are some churches that pay nursery workers. I don't want to pick up stones and throw them just in case somebody's church does. But if they do, that's fine. It's between them and the Lord. But we need to, why do you work? Because of what I work for. What do you work for? Because God wants me to. No, what do you work for? Yes. Commendation. Listen to that. You work, so somebody might say, the Lord Jesus might say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that a commendation you're looking forward to hearing? You are desirous to receive that you've done a good job, and praise God because he enabled you to do the good job and he's worked in you to do the good job. And many of us are doing things today that we did not have any desire to do. We had no dream of doing. We had no aspirations of doing. But this is what God wants us to do. His commendation. One day you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, that a man be found faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's one of the reasons that you do what you do. Hear ye the master's call. Give me your best. For be it great or small, that is the test. Hear ye the master's call. Give him your best. We're in the process of moving. Don't ask me where. Our home is right out there. I just got to get a number to put it on, like 717 19th Avenue or something like that, on that motorhome. And but we have some stuff down in the apartment where we've been staying, and we took it over and got getting rid of it. And we're disposing of it. And it still has value. And in your Christian life, you have some value. Don't have the opinion that you don't have any value. If I didn't come to church today, you're sitting out there. If I didn't come to church, nobody would have missed me. God would have missed you. And you're in a group of people that love you and care about you. And since you're here, you need to love somebody and care about somebody else. It's not all about me. Stir that all up, okay? It's not all about you. It's about God in you doing something to bring honor and glory to him. Who must work the works? What? Because of what I work for. I work for commendation of the Lord. This is number 3 on your list. John chapter 9 and verse 4, the one we read before, but you may turn back there. Who, what, when? When do you work? I work when it's daylight. Amen? We work in the light. None of our work should be done in darkness. It ought to be done in the light. Not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. We need to have a generation. How can you say that? A generation. We need a generation generated. Write that down, Ma. We need a generation generated. Once again. And none of us would like to consider ourselves to be of the older generation. Amen? And if we want to consider, we need to be regenerated. We need a tune-up. We need new plugs. We need whatever it is. We need to continue to set the pace. We need regeneration. Why? Who? What? When? When are we going to work? I jotted down here in my notes, we're going to work in the daylight. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me. We're probably the average age in here is 21 or something like that, but I'm not good at figures. Division never been. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. While the night cometh when no man can work. We need to be doing something now. We need to be doing something now. No, we need to be doing something now. I've stood behind this pulpit before. You need to dream a dream. You say, I can do something for God. Don't know what it is. I would leave it to your spiritual creativity. Through in my mind are coming some examples right now, but you know, we need to do that. We need to come up with an idea that you can handle. We were talking just a moment about Thursday night visitation. Remember, brother? All right. We get a little bit older and a little bit snowier. It's a little bit hard for Thursday night visitation. The sun's not shining. The sun goes down at 5 o'clock. And now it's 7 o'clock, and we're going to go out door to door across the shovel, and I'll put you in front of me, and you can do the shoveling, you know, along the way. So we need to be creative and come up with, what can I do? Pick up a telephone. Hello, Jenny? No, Jenny's not there anymore. Dial somebody. Just pull a name out of a phone. Do it. Do it. Do it. Be creative in getting the gospel out. It's not going to work and it's not going to happen if we stay locked in. We must work the works of him that sent me. Who? I work for Jesus. What? For commendation. When? When it's daylight, not in the darkness. We work in the light and daylight. Why? Why do you do? There's various reasons why you came to church. One, and probably I'll just stay with that one. But one, you're commanded to. You ought to feel that I am commanded, therefore I do. I'd rather do it. No, you're commanded. I know people have given a command idea a bad idea. You know, Ma, you're commanded to kiss me after we're done. That's a command. You hear me? No, I'd rather have her do it because she loves me. But it's still a command. And in this verse, we are commanded. Jesus said to do it. That's why I work. Because Jesus said to do it. Then he said, well, if you like the work, go ahead and do it. We're talking about Thursday night visitation. Some of us are very shy. Some of us are very bashful. But Jesus commanded us to go in the world, all the world. Easy or hard, but we need to go because we're commanded to do it. We need to work the works of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to do. Mark 16 and 15. This is number 4 on your score sheet. Mark 16, 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, what? And preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. We need to innovate some ways of communicating the gospel. Christmas is past. Plan for next year. Christmas carol. Do you all go Christmas carol? No. Christmas is not our forte. I take my shoe off and put it in my mouth. I understand. But you can redeem the time some way, somehow. Amen? Getting the gospel message out there. One way or another. And he said unto go in all the world and preach the gospel. You ever do street preaching? Did you ever do? No. You can look at me. I'm trying to get myself out of an embarrassing. Embarrassing moment here. Here we go. Do what the Lord's commanded you to do. How about that? And he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Good. And so we go into all the world and we preach. Why? Because it's commanded to do. It's commanded. And sometimes it's awkward, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's hard. But we need to communicate the gospel. Has anybody ever taken you to be a Christian by the way you walk, by the way you talk, by the way you carry on business? There's something different about you. And a nation, if it was to see that once again, a mark of Christianity. Diligent, honest, hardworking. See, there's something. What makes you different than the rest of the people that are working here? I found the Lord. I found the Lord, right? And they would open up a door and you could give testimony as to why you do what you do. Who I work for? Jesus. What I work for? Commendation. When I work when it's daylight, not when it's dark. Night is coming when no man can work. Why am I working? Because I'm commanded to work. Number 5 on your list, and there's one more after this, all right? Because of where I work. You have some of the most ideal working conditions. And I wrote this down facetiously, if you would. And to him, Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Go ahead and turn there. Make the noise. Thank you. Appreciate that. And to him, they agreed that when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Here are the apostles. They're going to preach the gospel, but they're getting abused and they're getting misused and they're getting beaten, but they're still anxious as soon as they're done to preach the gospel. Have you ever wanted to stop knocking on doors? Have you ever wanted to stop witnessing? You ever want to stop when folks were not supporting and cheering you on? We need to keep on keeping on in the face of hardship. Our ideal working conditions, that's the where. Christianity today is not well received. In our culture, Christianity is not on the high level or plane that it was at one time. We need to bring it back up, and we cannot let the low reference of fundamental Christianity pull us aside. Somebody needs to say of you or me, I met a Christian the other day, and he was fabulous. He was kind. Share, you know, whatever you did of kindness, you know, you let somebody else have your parking place. Let somebody else, whatever it would be. I met a Christian and they were exceptionally kind and understanding. And they even took time to pray with me. Once again, we need that mood. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed that when they had called the apostles and beaten them, this is ideal working conditions, don't forget. I mean, it doesn't come close to the hardships that you and I have to entertain. Beating them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus. We're almost in that place in our nation today. We better exercise the privilege, quote unquote privilege, that we have of speaking Jesus' name. I think we've laid down the sword. And I know this book is the sword. And we need to pick it back up once again. And we need to get in somebody's face once again. Secular school systems and so forth and so on, and all the public has just kind of thrown out Christ. And so the Constitution doesn't allow it. I'm not a constitutionalist. I don't know much about that. And, you know, but they ain't going to stop you from praising the Lord. They can't stop you from talking about Jesus, because the vast majority, and I will say about 90% of the majority, curse. And when they curse, they take the Lord's name in vain. And so you can say, hey, I heard what you just said. I'm going to drag you. We need one of the social policemen. We need one of these guys. You offended me. And you've been talking about Jesus, and you've been talking about Jesus, and I heard you talking about Jesus. 90% of the people are talking about Jesus. Are they or are they not? Have you ever heard the name Jesus taken in vain? All the time. Okay? Has anybody hammered them down or nailed them down or said, hey, wait a minute, wait. You know, get the police, not the police, the social police, get them over. Oh, maybe we could do that. Uh-huh. You, with a certain tie on, mention the name Jesus and they're going, get all kinds of berserk. But they can take his name in vain and not be punished for it. Think about it. Back to where I was. And let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Count it joy, worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I thank God for the opportunities I've had to serve him over our lifetime. Only when life will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. I've said that a dozen times from beyond this pulpit. But it's a joy to serve the Lord. Verse 42, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Could we not once again raise up, an educational institution? It's called school. It's called Christian school. Could we not raise up? Why did we allow them to kick Christianity out of a secular school system? Because it was secular. When I got dressed this morning, I went to the closet and said, I need my Christian jacket today. I really do. This is some other guy. But I can't get out of this wired up thing. I need my Christian suit today. I need my Christian outfit today. Many, if not all of you, are sitting here saying, I am a Christian 24 hours a day. And they cannot legislate anything that would stop me from being a Christian. But they have legislated you. And we need to come back and say, wait. This is God's country. Ain't all what it should be. But our founding fathers had that idea that we wanted to exalt and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a people that would blend together, would live together under biblical principles. Would we not raise it back up again so that we are comfortable in going door to door? So we're comfortable in singing on the street corner? Or we're comfortable passing out the gospel tract? So we're comfortable standing without apology for the old time gospel? We need that once again. Amen. Yeah. Because of where I work, and I wrote down here, this working condition is not ideal. It's not. This culture is not sympathetic towards our cause. And so we're going to put the tail between our legs and go home and cry? Or we're going to stand up? You're a neighborhood crowd. Hey, Brother Jones, good to see you. It was good in church last Sunday, wasn't it? Amen. Brother, sister, yeah, go see you. Amen. Now you're in the sanctuary. And you can say amen and nobody's going to get upset with you. Now you can say amen and nobody's going to get upset with you. Amen. Now you can say amen and nobody's going to get upset with you. Amen. If you didn't say it that time, I would have been upset. It took you a while to get there. All right? Am I making any sense for you this morning? There's enough churches in the Northeast to spark a revival. But it's not the church building. There's a lot of churches and a lot of empty churches. But it's the people inside those churches. How many, when you were a little kid, were taught? I never did learn it, but this is the door. This is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. You all know how to do that? We're going to have a dozen of you come up and give a demonstration because I can't get my fingers untied. Yeah, but that's the way it is. And in the church, this is it. It needs to go on the outside as well as on the inside. And we need to be cheering each other on. Amen. Passed out one track last week. Praise God. Didn't pass out any tracks. You thought about it. Praise God. We're not here to shoot anybody down. We're trying to encourage you. You'll meet people that we'll never meet. And we need to give the gospel message some way, somehow, where it's at. We must work the works. Don't be afraid of working. Don't be afraid of doing something for God. It may not be the ideal working conditions, but it definitely is. Let me say one more thing. This is number 6. You've been keeping track. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. You'll turn there and I'll be done reading it. Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Those things that you ought to do, that God wants you to do, you can do them. God has commanded you to do it. God wants you to do it. You can do them. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. This one last thought. How can I do less than give him my best after all he's done for me? You used to sing that little song. Maybe some of you know it. I'm going to heaven Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. That was a good song when I was 25. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. 25, 35. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. 35, 45, 55. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. 65. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. 75. I just forgot those words. It must be that old timers thing. I just forgot those words. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Just as we sang it when you were 25, sing it right now at 55 or 65. Heaven's a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. That world out there is looking for a bunch of Christian folks who say, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. And share the good news with them. Heavenly Father, bless these dear folks. Thank you for them. Lord, I'd ask that you would forgive me for not doing justice to your word. But Lord, your Holy Spirit can take the sound waves and manipulate them, if you would, mold them to the hearts that have gathered here today. The lights are on. The doors are open. A good group of godly folks have gathered to sing and to testify. So we go forth out of this place. Help us to do that which would be pleasing in your sight. Help us to work the works as Jesus has sent us in these areas. Accomplish your will again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.